Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said.
Get into the word. Let's pray together. Shall we bow our heads? Loving Father, for this wonderful Sabbath day, we are so grateful. And for the blessings we've already experienced, we thank you. Now, as we've come to the time to open your word, I pray, Lord, that you'll use me as your spokesperson for this time. And the things that I share will be a blessing to everyone here. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The tallest mountain in the world is Mount Everest, 29,035 feet above sea level. The mountain is on the border between Nepal and Tibet, but it's actually in Nepal. And the first time that it was successfully climbed was May 29, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary from New Zealand and Tenzing Norgay from Nepal completed it as a team. Many before them had tried and failed. The mountain has many challenges. It can be 40 degrees below zero, 125 mile per hour wind gust. There can be storms and avalanches, and then the worst of all, at 25,000 feet, they call it the death zone, where there is oxygen deprivation. The most famous person that climbed the mountain but failed is George Mallory. He died on the mountain in 1924. His body was found in 1999, 75 years later. He was found at 28,000 feet with all of his gear except his camera and a picture of his wife, which he had planned to leave on the summit. Some believe that he actually made it to the summit, left the picture, and was on his way back down. A search for the camera continues even now. You know, God gives all of us mountains to climb. Some are physical challenges. Others are spiritual quests. And the life of Caleb is a great example of both a spiritual and a physical challenge. At the age of 85, he cried, "Give me this mountain." And I'll tell you more about that here in just a few minutes. But first, I want to say, you know, as we are finishing off the year of 2018 and entering into 2019, I believe God is calling for us to be those kinds of leaders that are asking him to give us challenges. Give me, Lord, this mountain. Give me something to do for your cause. The Lord needs men and women with vision, with faith, with courage, who are eager to dare and to do something for the cause of God, even something difficult. Maybe you'll remember the story. Caleb was one of about 600,000 men, plus the women and children. Many estimates say there were around 2 million people that Moses led out of Egypt as they escaped the terrible slavery that they had been under for some 400 years. And Caleb was among those that witnessed the 10 plagues that fell on Egypt. He saw the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. He witnessed God's divine power on display as the Red Sea parted. And he was among those children that walked through on dry ground. He saw all the powerful demonstrations of God's providences, and his faith grew strong. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, I believe echoes pretty well Caleb's mindset. And there in Jeremiah 32, 17, it says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." When the children of Israel camped at Kadesh near the border of Canaan, they decided to send out 12 spies to survey the land. And Caleb, as you'll recall, was one of those 12 spies. And the spies spent 40 days checking out Canaan in covert operations, and then they returned. 10 of the spies gave a negative report. Do you remember the story? They said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." They brought back samples. You can read about it in Numbers 13, verse 27, 28, and on through verse 33. So they brought back samples. I'm trying to figure out how they brought enough samples for all 2 million people to have one bite, but they did bring samples. Grapes and figs and pomegranates. And Ellen White says in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, page 387, that the grape cluster was so big, it took two men to carry it. So you just picture that. It truly was a land flowing with milk and honey. So there was good news and bad news, and maybe they said, which do you want first? The good news is, Canaan is this fantastic land. That's the good news. The bad news is, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified and large, and to top it off, giants live there. The 10 spies summed it up by saying, "We were like grasshoppers compared to them." So after the 10 spies had stirred up all the people with a terrible report, Caleb got their attention. It was his turn. He was a man with a positive outlook on life. He liked, I like to be around people with a positive attitude. Do you like that? I like it. It's like the boy that was told to go out to the barn and shovel all the manure. And as he was shoveling, he was thinking, with all this manure here, there must be a pony somewhere. And so I like that kind of positive attitude. And Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and take the possession, for we are well able to overcome it." That's verse 30 of Numbers 13. You know, it's not a sin to see the difficulties that confront us. It's not evidence of unbelief to know about the enemy's strength. But you can't let the difficulties stop you. You can't let the strength of the enemy cause you to turn back, because we serve a God who is mighty to save and mighty to lead His people. Our Savior, He can move mountains. My God is mighty to save. He's mighty to save. And I know you believe that too. We need to continually see by faith that God is prepared to take care of the opposition, taking care of the walled cities and taking care of the giants that Satan puts in our way. Like Caleb, we must be courageous and bold to stand for the right and to stand in the defense of the Word of God. Caleb did everything he could to encourage the people not to listen to this "it can't be done" crowd, the 10 spies. You know, negative people pull you down. He didn't contradict what they said. It was true. The walls were high and the people were strong. But Caleb had his eyes on God, and he encouraged the people to remember the promise that God had made them years before, when God promised He would drive out the Canaanites with hornets. Exodus 23, verse 28, you can read that. It says, "And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before you." Is there anyone here that's ever been chased by a hornet? Well, my wife would have to raise her hand. I never have. I've been stung by wasps, by yellow jackets, and by bumblebees. Put your hand up if you've ever been stung by any of those. My latest one was back in August. We were visiting Nathan and Hillary, and I was doing something in his front yard for him, and four yellow jackets came out and zapped me. And they'll put you to run. But hornets are another story. Hornets are the most fierce of all those. And this is some time ago, maybe 30 years ago at this point, or 25 years ago. And Pat used to be an avid bird watcher. She doesn't have time for it so much now. But we were at summer camp, and our conference there in Arkansas, Louisiana, their summer camp is called Camp Yorktown Bay. It's on a beautiful lake, Lake Ouachita, surrounded by mountains. And so there were these older men that they were even more into bird watching than she was, but she found out they were going to get up early one morning and go bird watching, and she asked if she could tag along. And I'm sure the men were going, "Oh, brother, we've got this girl. She's not going to be able to keep up." But, you know, they were nice and they allowed her to go. I'm not into bird watching, so I didn't go. And I don't know how many birds they saw, but they actually got off of camp property. And there are some pretty nice homes that overlook the lake that are off of camp property. And they came to this one home, and it looked like it was currently vacant. And it had a deck that went off the back of the home that was actually off of a second story. So they went up this big flight of stairs and they went out on this deck at the treetop, and they thought, this is going to be a great view. But as they went up there, the last guy, and I hope I've got the story right, the last person to come up the stairs and to go past, there, unbeknownst to them, there was this large hornet nest. Do you call it a nest? Right there at the entrance to the staircase. And the last guy up there got zapped. And so now they're up there on the deck, standing over there in the corner, looking at the hornet nest, thinking, and they've forgotten about the birds at this point. How are we going to get off this deck? And one of the men was looking around, and you know, there it was in a wooded area, and there was a tree like 4 feet out from the deck, and he said, we can jump out to the tree and bear hug it and shimmy down. Pat voted no. So they said, okay, plan B. So plan B, one of the men took his shirt off and very, I don't know if you would say quickly or quietly, but cautiously, he approached the hornet nest. And he covered the hornet nest with the shirt, and then everybody went running by. And Pat's not big on running, but that day she tells me she ran. She ran that day. And so they're all safely past, but the guy wants his shirt. Anybody want to guess what happened when he retrieved his shirt? He paid the price for getting the shirt. But God promised he would drive them out with hornets. And yet these 10 negative people made most of the crowd not believe God's word. And so in Numbers 32, if you have your Bible, I want to show you something. Over in Numbers 32, take your Bible, if you have it, and look at this with me. I want to show you what happened. So Numbers 32, verses 11 and 12. So here's what God said, because of their lack of belief in the ability of God. Numbers 32, 11 and 12. Surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Verse 12, except Caleb, and then you see also except Joshua, those two. Those were the two faithful among the 12. So you think of the tragedy of unbelief. 599,998 men, I'm estimating, above 20 years old, died in the wilderness because they did not wholly follow the Lord. Only Caleb and Joshua, out of 600,000 men who left Egypt, walked into the promised land. One of the reasons why they had to go in circles for 40 years. All their peers died. Now there really was a generation gap. So why did Caleb and Joshua survive? I think it's because they, as Scripture says, wholly followed the Lord with complete trust, without reserve. This story, it actually inspires me because I believe God is calling for men of faith and women of faith, young people and old people of faith, to experience spiritual revival, to see what God can do through you. God is looking for people that are willing to go any place and climb any mountain for Him. So after wandering 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel finally entered Canaan. Caleb and Joshua, you think about it, were the only men above the age of 62. All the rest of the men above age 20 who left Egypt had died in the wilderness. On his 85th birthday, Caleb said to Joshua, one old friend to another, the only two old people left. It's in Joshua 14, verses 10 through 12. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, and Caleb's talking to Joshua, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. What mountain exactly is it that Caleb is talking about? Caleb is now asking for the territory. He wants to live in the territory where the giants dwell, where the walled cities were. He says, give me this mountain. My faith is strong enough to believe that God will have me live in this place. The place where the 10 spies said it cannot be done. And now as an elderly man, he says, give this to me. A true revelation of Christ brings the revelation of infinite possibilities. Nothing is impossible with God. God needs more of us standing ready to say, give me this mountain. Give me something hard to do. Give me something big to attempt for Christ. What will it be in the year 2019? Only you and the Lord can work that out. And when Christ gives us something big to do, the forces of opposition will be overthrown. The walled cities of ignorance, superstition, and prejudice will be destroyed. Caleb was what some would call an old man when he asked for the mountain, when he asked for something difficult to do. He was past 85 years old, but he didn't count himself as being put out to pasture. You know, I'm in my 60s now, and more often than not, I think about when will retirement come. But whenever that time comes, a year or two or three down the road, I know that the Lord will still have work for me. Do you think the Lord ever puts us out to pasture and says, you're done? So I would appeal to you, no matter what your age, if you're a young person, certainly the Lord has a work for you to do. And if you're an elderly person, the Lord still has a work for us to do. Is there a retirement program from witnessing for the Lord? I don't think so. The Lord has a great plan for us to live with Him for an eternity in heaven, doesn't He? But while we're on this earth, the Lord says we are to witness for Him and to work for Him. So Caleb didn't count himself retired or worn out. He felt he was just as good a man as when he was 40. I feel that way myself. How many of you feel that? Until I look in the mirror and I go, oh, wow. Isn't 60 the new 40? Has someone said that? And that's the beauty of it. If you're 85, if you're a senior citizen, you can take Caleb as your example. The service of a dedicated man or woman who has no boundaries, you can't be too old to serve God. Ministry of Healing puts it this way, and I love what Ellen White says here. Page 159 in Ministry of Healing, there is no limit to the usefulness of one who, putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. God is giving us vast opportunities to serve. He doesn't promise that the way forward will always be easy, but He does promise when He says, lo, I will be with you always. And by God's grace, as a congregation right here in Midland, we can move forward to victory in service for the Lord. So it's my prayer that the Lord will give me and each of you a mountain that we can serve Him on faithfully in this coming year of 2019.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.